Well, she is certainly living up to her name. Stormy Daniels is causing quite a flurry. We're going to talk about that in the Met Gala. We're going to talk about affordability and housing, and should you have to pay for your prep therapy? We're going to talk about all of that today.
Uncensored, unfiltered, unhinged. It's the Karellcast. Listen daily on your favorite streaming service.
Hello and much love to you on this Wednesday. It is the Karellcast. That makes me Karell. So glad I can be here with you. So glad you are joining me. Got a lot to talk about. Stormy Daniels' child, the T. Oh my God, she was dishing. She was dishing so fast, I had to tell her to slow down. The court reporter couldn't keep up. And those people type 225 words a minute. So it was some tea. We're going to talk about the repercussions of that. Also, we're going to talk about the Met Gala and has its time come? And a whole lot of other stories, including should you pay for preventative therapies like PrEP? Should your insurance company pay for those or should you pay for those? It brings up a lot of questions. So we're going to talk about that. Before we do, though, as you all know, last Tuesday, a week ago yesterday, I discovered, because my friend Brandon went over, as I asked him to, that my best friend, Daniel Charleston, was dead. It is still not real to me. It is still a mess. I spent Monday afternoon on the phone because I know more about Daniel's life than his brother. And so I spent Monday contacting friends. Now, Daniel had our group of friends, meaning, you know, we have a pretty decent sized group of friends, about 10 people. And then he had friends, of course, that were his friends from college and just other places. And Matrice and LaMarco and DeForest and Josh Shaw from Pacific Opera Project and all of these people. So I was the one. Monday at lunch, when I was sitting here at 808 Cafe, I had to tell Matrice, who was at work, because I'd been trying to reach her, finally got her at work. I had to tell her that Daniel was dead. And of course, she didn't take it well, and she was crying and all of that. In fact, all of them were, you know, like you would be. And that was hard on me, I have to say. At the end of Tuesday, I was freaking exhausted, okay? I just was. Because I'd been through it like six times, the death, over and over again with these people as they were finding out. And I want to say to you two things. First of all, if you don't have a will or a trust, and if you don't have somebody in your life that knows all of your passwords, then you are highly irresponsible. Okay, I don't care if you're 30, I don't care if you're 50 or 90, you've got to have at least two people in your life that you trust with your passwords for everything and with your will or your trust. You can download a will. It can be just one paragraph. I so-and-so leave everything to this person. And then it just has to be witnessed by two people not named in the will. You could literally get people at the UPS store to sign it. Anybody. Any two people not named in the will can witness a will. So there's no reason to not have one. Okay, that's the first thing. The second thing is, before we get to the topics of the day, because this is the topic of my day every day. And the third thing is, if you want a special memorial planet, again, I don't care if you're 20 or 100, if you want a certain song played, if you want it to be at a certain place, or do not have one for me in a church, I will come back and haunt every one of you mofos. So make your wishes known. It doesn't mean you're going to die right away. A lot of people are afraid to do a will or a trust or do all these final preparations. They're afraid that if they do them, that they're going to die. Well, you're going to die. The other thing is, I want you to know that you are going to be that phone call one day. Okay? There are going to be people that one day pick up the phone and hear about your passing. There are going to be people like me that find it so hard to get through the day knowing you're gone. You are going to be the cause of great pain one day when you leave. So do everything in your power right now to let every one of those people know how much you love them, how much they mean to you. You know, reminisce with them, share memories with them. If you have a strange, you know, sort of estranged relationships that you can fix, fix them. Also, if there are toxic people taking up your life, get out of those, get them away. It is so short. It is a blink of an eye. Daniel was 36, face down in bed, dead. So you will be that phone call one day. Make their lives easier. They're going to be getting the worst news ever that you're gone. So make their lives easier by being prepared. Have a will, have a trust, have other people that know your passwords. If you have pets, know who's going to take them. Believe me. And I still have to make my final arrangements. I haven't paid for my cremation yet. I have to do that. I can't leave because, you know, his brother's scrambling around for money, had to borrow money. When Andrew died, KFI paid for his cremation because So anyway, you will be that phone call one day. Make their lives easier by being prepared. And whoever in your world you think would be devastated by a phone call about you being dead, be sure that while you're alive, you show them how much you love and care for them. I don't care how corny or sappy it is. It will matter. It matters now. And it will matter then. So please do that. All right. Do you want to start with Stormy Daniels? Because that was something. Girl, she would, oh my God, she just dished the dirt. She just couldn't leave out details. She looked up in his travel bag that he had. And what did he have in there? Pert. Pert shampoo and Old Spice cologne. Oh, my gay sensibilities. I was like, oh God, he is heterosexual. Like Old Spice? I mean, if you're a dad that was born in the 30s or 40s, okay, maybe Old Spice. And maybe you reminiscent that your grandfather smelled like that. But nowadays, it's like that Axe body spray. You stink. You know, scents are out nowadays. I have a ton of colognes and I wear them. I love cologne. But I have to decide where I'm going to wear them to. Because now wearing a scent out in public is like, what if someone's allergic? You know, so, ugh. Old Spice and Pert and a gold manicure kit. That's what he had in his little bag that she looked in. And then he was sitting on the edge of the bed in his underwear and his t-shirt. Oh, you couldn't pay me enough. She did not get enough money. Give her more. She should get combat pay. My God. Oh, and then she started talking about positions. And the judge was like, whoa, hold on. The judge even told the prosecutor, honey, you got to pull back. He told him that. He told the porn star, you got to pull out. You got to pull back, you know. And they're worried about a mistrial. They asked for one, and he said no. But in Harvey Weinstein's case, you know, they brought in too many witnesses, too many women not involved in the case to testify that he had done that to those women as well. They're worried that since sex is not a crime, that all these details will be too much on appeal and they'll say, oh no, they should. But it was up to his defense attorney to object and she didn't. She just sat there, listened to all that. Trump was hitting them like, object, object. And the judge granted the objections when they did object. But oh my God, Stormy was dishing it all. No shame whatsoever. Just dishing it all. And it was fabulous. And what's so problematic about this is A, we are still hearing his name. I am so sick to death of hearing his name. But B, that he still has a following after this. After just Stormy's testimony, the fact that evangelicals would ever... You see, I don't get it. How come evangelicals will forgive him all of his troubles, but if you're gay, that's it. That's it. You're going to hell. You must not be able to get married. You shouldn't be able to adopt children. You're evil. Your lifestyle is easy. Why? Because we dork people the same sex? Meanwhile, this guy's out having affairs with, you know, adult film stars. His wife is not in the courtroom. Oh, well, what's this? Eric Trump is there looking all pissed and tweeting, extortion, extortion. And, oh, God. But Melania, honey, no. She's somewhere else. Okay? And what will happen with this testimony? Well, the defense could have stopped it like that. You know how? By stipulating to the affair. All the defense could have shut down all of the questions about their interaction. And all the prosecution would have been able to ask Stormy Daniels about is, how much did you get? Who made the payment? And how were you paid? And who did you think was making the payment? Because that's all that's relevant to this case. But the prosecution had to prove the affair since Trump is denying it. And that's why all that testimony was let in. All they had to do was stand up and say, okay, we stipulate to the affair. It would have shut down all of that. But he would rather sit there and be embarrassed and, he was looking away from the jury. He was looking away from Stormy. He wouldn't look at her. He looked at the monitor. Oh, he was embarrassed. All he had to do was stipulate to the affair. And people are acting like, well, we don't want to make him a victim and we don't want to make him seem too sympathetic. And the media is tripping over themselves to be kind to him. I go, he's a freaking criminal. God, why don't you treat him like he's black? I really wish they would treat Donald Trump like he was black. I really do. He needs to be treated like a black defendant. He really does. He'd already be in jail for contempt. They said, oh, one more time and you're going to jail. You keep threatening him with a good time. Send him to jail. All these pundits, oh, that could backfire. I don't care if he wins the election because we put him in jail. Put him in jail. Treat him like he needs to be treated, like a real live criminal. All this deference they're paying to this man. But Stormy wasn't having it. Oh, my God, she just laid it all out there. Were you paid for the sex? No, I'm not a sex worker. I'm an adult film star. Oh, let's make that distinction. I ain't a hooker. I love her. I love her so much. After the testimony, oh, if I could have kissed her, just take her right out to lunch or something. Girl. Because we would have sat there, girl, uh-uh. And she'd have been, mm-hmm. And I said, girl, no. And she would have said, mm-hmm. And I said, uh-uh, girl. That's how our lunch would have gone. Oh, my God. It was fabulous. The testimony was fabulous. It was perfection. And watching the media squirm around the details. Oh, the media was like, well, there are some graphic. But what I got was the pert and the Old Spice. Blah! Poor Melania. She has to smell that. Eh. Maybe Old Spice is the only thing that will negate the smell of a Depends. That needs to be changed. Maybe that could be an ad campaign from Old Spice. Got a stinky diaper? Don't worry. We mask it. Just ask Donald. Oh, God. Just. So that happened on Tuesday, yesterday. She was all up in the news yesterday because she laid it all out there. And all the defense tried to get. She wasn't having the defense. She's like, look, I'm telling the truth. So I will just repeat whatever you want me to repeat, but this is how it happened. This is what happened. Your client did this, this, and this. Lord have mercy. He's so guilty in this trial. I mean, it's obvious. He had the affair. He paid Michael Cohen to cover it up to keep it out of the press to influence the election. It's just as plain as the breast on Stormy's. Oh, God. Speaking of breasts, the Met Gala happened on Monday. Now, the Met Gala started in 1948, Metropolitan Museum of Art, as a way of funding their costume wing, okay? To put famous costumes and famous clothing on display, okay? And so they would have this gala every year where people would get dressed up and pay a lot to then go, and that money would go to support the costume wing of the museum, you know, the upkeep of it, the acquiring of more costumes, all of that. So it became a big deal. Well, I watched it and I just got, now all I feel is the Hunger Games. You know, people that back in the Depression and back in the 30s and 40s, rich people did not flaunt their wealth because they knew the poor people would get very bitter and would revolt. And I think that's happening now with the Met Gala. So we'll talk just a little bit about that when we come back. Should wealthy people keep their wealth under wraps right now? Because you and I are not wealthy. And I think we're tired of seeing people out there spending more money than we'll make in years on one night.
Hey, Carell here, and I'd like to take a moment to thank all the patrons at Patreon. Your support means the absolute world to me and the show. If you'd like to show your support for the crazy endeavors of the Carell cast, then please go to patreon.com/reallycarell. That's patreon.com/reallycarell. And please help get those numbers up by subscribing to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/reallycarell. There's so much great free content there, it's like having a network on your TV, phone, or tablet. All social media is Really Carell, including Threads and Instagram. And don't forget the website that's had it all along, reallycarell.com. Without your support, the show simply doesn't work. So please listen on all streaming services, watch and subscribe on YouTube, and support the show through Patreon at patreon.com/reallycarell. Thanks for almost 30 years of support for the loudest, craziest, most unhinged gay guy and his little dog. And let's keep the party going as long as we can.
Alrighty, so the Met Gala happened on Monday, $75,000 a ticket. Many of the celebrities did not pay that. The fashion house, Chanel, Dior, whoever the designers are, will buy a table. And then they will get celebrities to wear their stuff and sit at their table. So a lot of those celebrities didn't go out $75,000. Okay, many of the brands paid $750,000 for a table for 10 people and then invited five celebrities and then their plus ones to the table. So when you see Dan Levy on the carpet, he probably didn't pay the $75,000. He's probably there wearing this. He wore a Hispanic designer outfit, fabulous clothes, Dan Levy did. And he probably is there as a guest of that designer, wearing their clothes and then going inside to the benefit where Ariana Grande did a concert. You know, they eat, they schmooze, and they raise all this money. Now, I mentioned earlier that during the Great Depression and even, you see, the French Revolution happened because the wealthy flaunted their wealth. And the bourgeoisie, the poor, they couldn't take it. And so they overthrew them because, you know, let them eat cake. Oh, yeah, well, she never said that, but the sentiment was, you know, what do we care about the poor? And in America right now, there's a lot of pain. There are people that have to go to food banks and swallow their pride and go line up for food. There's a woman I saw online. I actually reposted her GoFundMe. She makes over $19,000, so she can't get public aid, but she can't eat. She goes 4 or 5 days without eating. Both her parents are in the hospital. And in America, we have this woman. I said, go to the hospital. Tell them you have no food. And she said, yeah, they want $6 a tray. You know, so there's no resources for her. And she's literally starving. And these stories are everywhere around us. Homelessness is at an all-time high. The median income in America is $57,500. And a ticket to the Met was $75,000. So each person on that carpet was paying more to be there than most Americans make in a year. And yet, we watch it. It's like, why? It's kind of sick. It's almost sick the way we, the have-nots, emulate, watch, and adore the haves. Kim Kardashian mutilated herself. Her waist was literally like 3 inches around. It was horrifying to see. It was right out of olden times when women's... I don't think she's aware that corsets were a form of torture, but whatever. So was a Kardashian. It's a form of torture. So for me, I kind of, you know, I liked what Dan Levy was wearing. I liked what Coleman Domingo was wearing. Some of the men who were breaking out of the gender norms for their clothing. But for the most part, I mean, Lady Gaga looked like the Guggenheim. It was a very interesting dress. But again, she couldn't pee in it. She looked like the Guggenheim. I think Katy Perry's outfit, because the theme was flowers and the gardens of past or gardens of time or the gardens of time or something. It was a flower theme. Katy Perry's dress fit it perfectly. But again, the dress probably cost more than most Americans make in a year. And so I'd like your thoughts down below on this, on the Met Gala. Do you pay attention to it, first of all? If you don't, okay. But if you do, do you think that this the time has come for this? That the tide is turning? We're instead of watching the Met Gala and... Because look, I'm a big celebrity person. I love Hollywood and stars. And I grew up reading Rona Barrett's magazine. And I lived to see Barbara out. What is she wearing? But nowadays, when I see them out just flaunting all this wealth, all I think about is that necklace could fund public school lunch programs. And literally, there were people wearing jewelry last night that just the jewelry could fund the entire city of New York's public school program for lunch. You know, we're in, the planet is dying. There's no money for climate change legislation. There's no money for high-speed infrastructure, for high-speed rail. Gas is $6 a gallon. We can't get around. There's no money to improve transportation. And yet Monday night, there was literally billions of dollars all told on display. I just don't think it's a good look for right now. I don't. And maybe it's a distraction from our everyday, but I don't need to be distracted by things and a life that I can't have. I'd rather be distracted by positive stories about people like me that are making it in today's world, as opposed to these mega wealthy who are just handed everything and barely have to pay for anything. And, you know, I'd love your comments down below on this topic and then on the next one I'm going to do. But do you think it is a good look for the wealthy? They're all over media, social media, Mark Zuckerberg's $300 million yacht. It is a literal cruise ship. It's so big, it has a support boat that has to follow it. And the support boat is as big as most yachts. It's got a helipad, basketball courts. You could literally live on it forever. And maybe he's planning it. But I'm like, why do I need to see this $500 million yacht that I'll never be invited to, never be able to ride on, and certainly will never own? I wouldn't spend that much money on a yacht if I had Mark Zuckerberg's money. If I had all these people's money, I would just be doing good every day, as much good as I can. Yesterday, my dentist gave me a toothbrush, toothpaste, and floss after I got my teeth cleaned. And instead of saying, no, I don't need it because I use all these electric things, I took it and gave it to a homeless guy at the park this morning. You know, that's where my mindset is. So what about you? Do you think the Met Gala's time has come, that watching very wealthy people, you know, spend a lot of money to go in and have an evening is what we should be doing right now? Is it harmless or is there more to it? Also, online, I got into an argument over PrEP. Now, PrEP is pre-exposure prophylactic, and it's protease inhibitors, kind of like Paxlovid, but they're protease inhibitors that people at high risk for HIV, meaning sexually active people, particularly gay people, take, and it decreases their chance of getting HIV/AIDS between 90 and 95%, depending upon what studies you look at. Some studies say all the way up to 99%. That it's 99% effective in stopping HIV transmission. And the way it does it is you take this very potent drug with lots of side effects, don't let them lie to you, that we have no long-term studies on to see if you take it and you're healthy for 20 years, what it does to you. But you take this very toxic, liver-toxic drug, and it puts an antiviral in your system. And if you encounter the AIDS virus, there's enough antiviral in your system to stomp it out before it can breed. It's not a cure. It is a treatment, because protease inhibitors are what they're using to treat HIV/AIDS and saving lives. But it's for healthy people, people who do not have HIV. And I saw someone online complaining that their insurance won't pay for it, which they're supposed to, by the way. But without insurance, it's between $15,000 and $2,000 a month. And I said, you know, condoms are cheap, and I'm living proof they work. Andrew was HIV positive, I'm negative, and we had lots of sex. How? With condoms and common sense. But these people got tired of condoms. They don't want to use them anymore. They want a bottom without a condom, and you know what that means if you don't figure it out. They want to be the receptive partner, and they don't want the person putting the inceptive in with a condom on. They want skin-to-skin contact. Or they want to be promiscuous. They want to go out and sleep with a variety of people and not have to worry about condoms and what the person's status is. And, you know, because back in the day, we would go get tested before we had sex with strangers. Literally. You'd meet a stranger and you'd ask to see their test results. Could I see your test results, please? How recent are they? It doesn't cost a thing to prevent AIDS without a drug. However, the drug has decreased the spread of AIDS by about 20 to 30%. And that's very costly to an insurance company. But if you don't need it to prevent the virus, it can be done with condoms and common sense or abstinence, which isn't realistic, but you know what I mean. It's a virus that doesn't jump into your body. It's not like something your body does, like diabetes. Your body, yes, through your diet, maybe not. Other people, it's genetic. But, you know, diabetes is inside of you. Cancer is inside of you. You know, the AIDS virus doesn't jump inside of you. It has to be put there. And you can prevent it from being put there with a condom. For the most part, they're about 90% effective. So do you think if there are drugs to prevent things like AIDS, that we should be paying for them with insurance? Because after all, then it means that people don't get sick. It means they're not going to be cost a lot more on insurance. And it means they can go out and be hoes and not be have safe sex and not get HIV. Is that cool with you? Because I think that PrEP is one of the drugs that if you really want to be on it, you should just pay for it yourself. You know, but then again, part of me says no. Part of me is a socialist and says, you know, all drugs should be covered. And, you know, we can't pick and choose who's on what drugs. And, you know, it's like someone said, well, should a diabetic not be given a diabetic medicine? Their lifestyle has basically caused them to be diabetic. So shouldn't we just say, look, you ate your way into this. We're not going to pay for your drugs. I mean, every human pretty much decides their illnesses with their diet and exercise and stress levels and all of that, what they expose themselves to. So should smokers not get, you know, their drugs paid for if they get lung cancer? You see how it's a bigger argument? I just think that $2,000 a month for a drug that you really don't need to prevent AIDS, all you really need is a condom and common sense, that's a lot of money. That's $25,000 a year, basically, that insurance companies are paying at a time when they won't pay for chemo drugs, at a time when people are literally dying because they can't get access to medications they need. They're spending $25,000 a year on drugs so people can go have sex without condoms. How do you feel about that? I'd like to hear your comments down below. You know how I feel. I'm torn. Part of me thinks, no, you want to go and have sex and unprotected and all that? Then pay the price. The other part of me says, well, why? If there's a way for people to not get infected and they don't mind what it does to their bodies, then why not have it covered? What do you think? Why not have it covered? Or if it's a drug to prevent something, because let's go to the obesity drugs. You don't need Ozempic, which is now causing Ozempic face from the lack of fat. You lose weight too fast. You lose too much fat in your face. It looks gaunt and skeletal. Ozempic butt, where again, you lose too much fat from your butt area and the skin just sags. You don't need Ozempic or Wegovy to lose weight. You can lose weight without it. But if you lose weight with it, there's other health benefits and there's the health benefits of the weight loss. So it's a win-win for the drug company and for you. You win because you lose weight, get healthier. The drug company wins because you're taking a shot in perpetuity. But is it a win-win? And should insurance companies pay for Wegovy and Ozempic for obese people before they try diet, before they try exercise, before they try making them vegan? Should they just pay for it right from the get-go? I'd love to hear your comments down below. I am Karell. Be who you want to be, so don't hurt anybody. We've got so many topics that are going to carry over into Friday, so we will see you on Friday. Meanwhile, thank you, patrons. I love you. Become one at patreon.com/reallykarell. Don't forget to email me or comment below. And subscribe.
It's broadcasting from a completely different point of view. Yours. Listen daily to the Corralcast on your favorite streaming service.